Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Video Store Memoirs. Here with me, as always, is my BFF for life and my co-host, Kevin.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm here.
There he is. Oh, and I'm Jana. Yeah.
You just might want to, you know, introduce yourself.
If they don't know my voice by now.
They're lost. Okay.
Yeah. Today we come at you with something a little different we've not done before. Today is a double feature. We watched two movies recently. The original thought was to be back to back the same day, but we ended up separating them by a day, and we'll explain why in a little bit. But yeah, let's turn it over to Kevin, and he's going to tell you about the first movie we watched.
Okay, so in continuing with Oscar time, we decided, you know something? Maybe we should try and watch a movie that was nominated last year for an Oscar and see what happens. We actually ended up watching two. The first of the two is the movie that everyone was raving about, Dune. I'm still trying to figure out what people are raving about it, but we will get into that in just a second here. So let me go over here to our friends at IMDb and see if we can pull up exactly what these people think this movie is about. Because
That's one of my favorite parts about this sometimes.
A noble family becomes embroiled in a war for control over the galaxy's most valuable asset, while its heir becomes troubled by the visions of a dark future.
Eh?
Yeah, had I read that, that movie would have made more sense while watching it. I apologize to every sci-fi lover who loves this movie, loves the books. I did not get this movie.
I'm going to preface this by saying that while I have heard of Dune for many, many years, decades, I know what Dune is. I have never actually read the books or seen any of the original things. Not certain why, just not one of those things I ever got around to. But everybody was so hype about this movie and about, just the expectation of it and how finally it's going to get a remake that can be done in a time where we have the technology and stuff to make it good. And, you know, oh, there's this big thing about, oh, Zendaya's in it. Oh,
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, I was not impressed with this movie.
I'm in 100% agreement with you. I mean, I've watched epic movies of this type before, fantasy, sci-fi tales. This to me was a setup movie, but I've seen plenty of setup movies that actually had a story with it. This movie had no story, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
It just showed a bunch of characters milling around and dying.
Yeah. So the cast, let's talk about the cast, because there were some...
You got heavy hitters in this movie.
Yeah, there were some heavy hitters in this movie, and then there were some disappointments on how, it went with some of them. So, I mean, obviously we already mentioned Timothée Chalamet, he's the main character, Paul. Rebecca Ferguson plays his mother, Lady Jessica Atreides. Oscar Isaac plays Duke Leto Atreides. Got Jason Momoa as Duncan Idaho. Zendaya, obviously, is in it as Shani? Chani?
I don't know. They never said her name in this movie.
They never said her name in this movie.
You will not hear her name until you see Dune 2.
Stellan Skarsgård. We got a Skarsgård in this movie. Of course, it's like Daddy Skarsgård, but still played Baron Vladimir Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin played Gurney Halleck.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, so there were some great names. Dave Bautista plays one of the Harkonnens. First of all, this is the movie that Jason Momoa shaved his goatee off for. And I was not impressed. And then they fucking kill him.
Spoilers!
Whatever. Anybody who's seen this movie that wants to see this movie has seen it already.
That is true. That is probably very true.
I remember watching the video when he posted it, when Jason Momoa shaved, because he recorded it and posted it, and my heart broke. And he mentioned it was for a movie, and I was like, okay, I mean, I get it, for your craft, it'll grow back, it's hair. It better be fucking epic to cause this man who makes money partly because of his goatee and his looks to have to shave it off. And then I saw this dumpster fire.
I just, let's preface this statement by, we were so unimpressed by this movie. My partner here is more concerned the fact that the man shaved off his hair for this movie than the actual movie itself.
And then they kill him. Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. You watch this movie, half the people we name that are in this movie end up dead before the movie is even halfway through.
Yeah. Very true. And, I mean, I love Dave Bautista, but this wasn't a stretch role from him. This was very similar to many of the other roles he plays. Big brute.
But he really wasn't in it. If you think about the scenes he was in, this man was maybe in the movie for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm assuming he'll probably be featured more in the next movie when the war comes. So here's my thoughts on this. Here's my point. This was a very long, drawn-out, slow-building movie. I get, like Kevin said, it's the setup movie. It's to set the foundation for what's coming. This second movie better be the most epic, exciting, mind-blowing fucking story I have ever seen to make me not regret watching the first one.
I'm with you 100%. I mean, just sitting here right now thinking about it, I can list off at least two or three setup movies that set up a much better sequel, but were equally as entertaining as the rest of the series. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, was basically introducing everyone. You still had a fantastic story for the first chapter.
Yeah.
You were introduced to all these characters. You didn't have half of them die by the time the movie was over, you know? Another one, The Matrix. Eventually became a trilogy, but the first chapter is a standalone epic on its own. Like, if it hadn't been a worldwide phenomenon, it could have been just a solo movie that left an open ending. And it's timeless. It's one of those sci-fi epics that everyone knows, everyone enjoys. I can't put this movie, Dune, on the same level.
Yeah, no. And to give you an idea of just how slow and boring this movie was, we watched this movie on a night where we had all been partaking in adult refreshments, not of the beverage variety.
Well said. Well said there.
Yeah. We were fucking high.
Yeah.
And we still found no entertainment value in this movie, and it bored us.
This actually pulled me out of it. You know how there is this term that everyone knows? You're harshing my buzz. You're spoiling my buzz. This spoiled my buzz. Because I think I came out of it trying to make sure I was not missing something in this movie because I was high.
Yeah. You'd think being high would make it more entertaining. You know, make you look at the shit going on in the background and have something else to focus on and be like, oh, that's trippy. No, we didn't get any of that.
No, here's the thing that's the irony of all ironies. Apparently, the original creator of the book, Dune, basically wanted to tell a story which embodied the visions that someone would have on a mushroom trip. And you tell me being high on an edible did not help enhance this movie at all?
No. apparently, you specifically needed mushrooms.
I guess.
We were fresh out of.
Yeah,
you know.
Sorry, I only had beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't give this movie any more than 2 clamshells, personally, because I know it won a shit ton of Oscars, I believe 5, but they were all for the technical side. Nothing, like, it was nominated for Best Picture. I don't understand how.
We did look through the list of Oscars they did win, and they were all for things, technical pieces, like the cinematography and different things. And I will give them that. Visually, technicality-wise, they did a good job with this movie. But that is not why 99% of people watch movies.
No.
You watch movies for the story, for the action, for the emotion. And I got none of that out of this movie.
Honestly, seeing how this is a movie about people on a sandy planet, it basically was a boring, uneventful version, really an uneventful version of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Everything taking place on Tatooine. I mean, I'm watching this movie hoping for some, like, ooh, okay, now you got me. But just watching this thing trudge along, in my opinion, I don't get the hype that it brought about.
Yeah. And Zendaya, who everybody hyped up, like, oh, she's in the movie, was in it for, like, maybe 5 minutes.
And that was at the end of the movie. She shows up at the, literally 5 minutes before the credits ran.
Yeah.
If I was going to this movie because I wanted to see Zendaya, oh, sorry, I will, here, let me backtrack. She is in the movie, basically, all over the place, in visions, flashbacks, what have you, doesn't say a frickin'
right.
word.
Glimpses of her
very
face.
Glimpses of her, you know, piercing blue eyes, you know, because of the alien that she is and whatever, but that's it. No real lines. When you finally meet her, she's a total bitch.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Five minutes at tops is what she's in this. So she better be the sole focus of the second movie. Like,
yeah, you better find out, like, this girl is the key to everything in Dune Part 2.
But so I agree with 2 clamshells. And that's stretching it for me.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this is definitely one of those times where, you know, the hype did not live up.
No.
In a way, I'm very glad that I did not go see this in the theater. For a while there, I felt bad that everyone was talking about this movie that's such a great cinematic thing. You should have seen this on the biggest screen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dang, I must have missed out on something great.
Nah.
No. Not in my opinion.
Nah. So, once we were done with that movie that night, we had another movie on our list to watch that we thought we were going to watch that night. And
yeah. We thought better of it.
Because we were high. We thought, maybe we should hold this movie off till the next day. Because reading the description and what it was about, we thought, we just sat through Dune. Our minds are mush. We're still fucking high.
And more pissed at the moment.
Yeah. Maybe it's not such a good idea. Because the next movie we watched was 2022's Everything Everywhere All at Once.
The winner of Best Picture for the year. Yeah. So we're like, okay, let's go to bed. We'll relax. Come back to this fresh-minded, fresh-eyed, and dear God in heaven, thank God.
Thank everything everywhere that we decided to wait until we were sober to watch this movie. Because this movie was a trip and a half and a mindfuck on its own, sober, first thing in the morning.
Yes.
I cannot imagine what it would have been like had we been high still.
It probably would have been even crazier to watch. I mean, like, I would have been sitting there like, wait a minute. No, actually, I probably would have been questioning everything I would have seen overall because I was like, wait a minute, this...
We wouldn't have known if it was really happening or if we were enhancing it because we were high.
Yeah, we may have had to watch it again to make sure.
Yeah. So, our friends at IMDb says, a middle-aged Chinese immigrant is swept up into an insane adventure in which she alone can save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives she could have led. That is a sweet and gentle way of saying, yo, this movie's fucked up.
I mean, I will say, I don't know if I call it really fucked up. It is probably one of the, I mean, there are certain aspects of it that are really, really fucked up. But for the most part, I am a nerd by heart. I am a MCU watcher. And I mean, good or bad, I will give it a shot. Disney, I hope you watch this movie, but because Jesus Christ, this will, if you follow the aspects that they did in this movie, you will save the whole idea of showing a multiverse.
It is, while the weirdest way of connecting to and accessing a multiverse, it is the coolest way and best way I have ever seen a multiverse be handled.
I mean, it did have a little bit of aspects. I know I just talked about this. It had a little bit of aspect of the Matrix to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had scenes in there where people are able to access their other lives. And it's basically like being downloaded to their brain, you know? And so, you know, you get that same kind of aspect to it. But for the most part, seeing the visuals of different worlds, same person, but one decision led him in a totally different direction. Or one not making a decision led him to another totally different direction.
Oh my God, there's totally a Matrix-like moment in there.
Yeah.
Her first fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
There's a I know kung fu scene.
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't know how to fight. She's a mom, runs a laundromat, and suddenly she's thrust into this, and he tells her to go and think about a world where you know kung fu, and then when she finally accesses, then she's fighting like a badass. Like, she doesn't say the line, I know kung fu, but it's totally an I know kung fu moment.
Yeah, because she's about to get kicked, like, right in the face, and then all of a sudden she throws up a perfect block. Like, it was instantaneous. She was ready for it. I was like, oh, hello, Neo.
We should talk about who's in this movie, because this cast...
This is a fantastic cast.
It was fantastic.
So, first and foremost, the beautiful, the talented, I've loved her forever since, like, the 90s, Michelle Young, Academy Award-winning Michelle Young.
Michelle Yao.
Thank you.
Y-E-O-H. Michelle Yao. She played Evelyn Wang, the main character and star of this movie.
I mean, this woman can do no wrong. I've watched her play multiple roles. Like, she got her start. I'm sorry I'm going to say this, and people can take this the way you want, but she started her career out as the female Jackie Chan because she was the only woman in that industry to start doing all her own stunts in martial arts movies. You know? That set her aside from everybody. Usually the females that are cast in these movies are the mom or the daughter standing back like, oh my God, they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, excuse me, I got this.
Yeah. She's amazing in this. Then her daughter, Joy Wang, played by Stephanie Hsu.
Fantastic.
The husband, Wayman Wang, played by Ki Hui Kwan. Thank you. It's the K and the H sound next to each other that throws me off. And then out of fucking nowhere, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oscar winner now.
Plays Deirdre Bobadry, the IRS lady. Like, amazing.
Can we go back to Ki Hui Kwan real quick?
Yeah.
This man started at such a young age. Everyone knows the movies. Two of the biggest movies he was ever in. Goonies. And Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, where he played Short Round. And then trying to keep going in Hollywood, wasn't making a great go of it. He walked away, went on with his life, and then slowly started to make his way back. And his biggest movie, comeback movie, ends up being the one that's probably set up his career for the rest of his life, because one, he won every award for best supporting actor in every award ceremony that year, including the Academy Award.
Yeah.
I think for me, what makes it stand out, I know the movie was great, the way he portrayed it, his characters were great, but for me, the thing that stands out the most is the fact that when he won the Oscar and they show him going backstage, the first person to greet him and give him a big hug was Harrison Ford.
That's awesome. Yeah, all four of these characters, all four of these actors, okay, first of all, they weren't just in a movie. They weren't just playing a character. They were all playing multiple characters. Now, Stephanie Sue, her character, the daughter Joy Wang, there wasn't that much deviation between her different variations because she was basically already tapped into the multiverse and aware and in control of every version she could jump into. So hers wasn't as huge of a stretch. Nothing, not to take away her performance, because she was amazing. My kind of evil. I loved it. A little crazy, a little wacky. She was great. Jamie Lee Curtis, again, mostly the same character, some slight twists and nuances, not a lot of jump. Kihui, we only really saw two variants. Three variants. Okay. The third one wasn't in it as much. The main ones they focused on was the two, the one that was in control doing the jumping, and then the husband, the character in her main life that they were focusing on. But even so, he did those amazing. And then the third one of the one they're not together in, where he's the complete opposite of the way he is with her now.
Suave, businessman, very successful, but regrets not having that relationship.
But Michelle Yeoh played so many different versions of herself, and each character different. Like, all still her, but different personality-wise and different in talent-wise. Because they said the main reason why she was so different, and the main reason why she's the key to all of this, is because in her static current life, she's the person that can't make a decision on what or who she is. She has many, many hobbies, many things. She tries everything, and she doesn't commit to anything. So in all of these other multiverse lives, each one, she's actually committed to something and becomes really good at that one thing.
Yeah.
And so there's all these different variants, various pieces of her.
Did you count by any chance?
No, I didn't.
17.
17. 17 different versions of this character and the different lives that she's led. And she played them all beautifully.
Not one single person was represented slightly the same. They all had their own characteristics.
Yeah. And she did amazing at it. Like, she should have won all the awards.
Well, I think she did. She won an Academy Award. She won Golden Globe. I think she also won BAFTA for Best Actress, too.
Because dude carried the whole movie. Like, she was almost every character in the movie.
The only time I could say that she had a character that was exactly like the same is she had her main character that we're introduced to, and then, like, briefly we have, like, the alternative version. Like, if her life, her current life was a little more successful, it kind of had a little look to the, but it was still running the laundromat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But still, even that little variation nothing was the same.
Yeah. Now, this movie is fucking trippy. And it's not just the multiverse shit, okay? It's the thing that I love the best about this was the way that they can access their alternate self in another world, is that you have to do something that is completely unexpected and completely not something that you would do. And each way to access each individual life is a different weird or unexpected thing. Yeah. And it's the weirdest fucking shit ever.
I mean, the first one right out the gate for Kihu Kwan, when his, I could say one of his, like his other self takes over the husband version. He's like, don't worry, I've got this covered. He takes out a roll of chapstick, twists it until you've got like at least an inch of the chapstick sticking out. Just shoves it in his mouth, starts He eats the frickin' chapstick, throws it in his mouth, starts chewing it up like it's bubblegum. And then all of a sudden he's able to do this massive kung fu scene that was fantastic. But it's like moments like that, like you're like, you want him to do what to be able to access? Yeah.
There's a moment where Jamie Lee Curtis's character has to staple a piece of paper to her forehead to access.
To get the eyeball to be able to access, yeah.
Yeah. There's all sorts of weird shit they have to do.
The paper cutting scene.
Oh my god, the paper cuts! Oh!
Just, Kihu Kwan's character, Wayman, he wants to access the gymnast portion of the multiverse. And so the people who are talking to him let him know, okay, you're going to need paper cuts. Not just some paper cuts. You're going to need paper cuts multiple times between every one of the joints of your fingers.
Ugh,
and he's just sitting there just doing it, going through. Like normally if a little kid were to stand there going, counting on their fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just imagine 1, 2, up.
Right, but then the last one he couldn't get, and he had to do it several times to get it to take. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Apparently there was a glitch in the system, so the final one he had to do 4 times in the same spot. I can honestly say I've watched many movies. You people know this. My co-host knows this. I have never cringed more than watching a man give himself multiple paper cuts. Mm-hmm. And acting like it was nothing.
Yeah, it was, oh, yeah.
All I gotta say is I feel so bad for Wayman when he actually got re-control of his body. You know how much pain that poor man was in?
Right. Oh, like, what the fuck happened to my hand?
It's like, why can't I spread my fingers? Well, let me fill you in.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't want to spoil this movie too much because it is fairly new and it's fairly awesome. And I think everybody should watch it for the mind fuck it is and definitely do it sober.
Yes.
But I do want to say that this movie almost turned me off of Everything Bagels. And I love a good Everything Bagel. And then I almost murdered my husband for giving me an Everything Bagel for breakfast the next morning.
Yeah, you definitely will never look at a pastry the same way again after watching this movie. But here's the thing. The explanation behind it is riveting. The idea of the concept that they put into the Everything Bagel, it's like, wow, y'all really thought about this.
This movie really is one of the other reasons besides how trippy and messed up it is that that we're glad that we watched it sober, is that it really is a thinker. It made you think a lot about life and the choices you make and the connection to things and how one single decision or lack of a decision can affect you and everybody around you. So, yeah.
I will say one thing about this movie. I know I'm going to be alone on this, probably, because there's a lot of people who like the concept of this movie. The group of which I watched it with didn't agree with me, but There is one solid message that comes through at the end of this movie. I'm not going to say what, like, it's too new. Let people see what they see. But I didn't agree the long way around they went to it. For everything that this movie did, showing so many different aspects of choices and the haves and haves and have-nots, there was something about showing all this multiplicity that everything, the end result of the movie was so simplified. I don't know, for something, I can understand where they were trying to go, but I didn't fully agree with how long they took to get to such a simple message at the end. I don't know if that makes any sense with you.
It makes sense, but like you said, agree to disagree, because the rest of us did not feel that way and thought that every single aspect was important and the way that they approached it was the right way to do it. So
No, that's my point of it. Like, there's so many aspects, there's so many visions and points to this story that, I don't know, for me, I think I was expecting a bigger payoff in the final message than something so finite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I was okay with the final message and the way it played out. I enjoyed the journey. It was a fucked up, twisted, loop-de-loop of a ride of a journey. But I enjoyed it, even if the answer was simple.
I can agree with that. I can agree to disagree with you, but...
It should be no doubt that given the accolades it has received, one of the few times that I absolutely, positively, 100% agree with the Academy, this is a 5 clamshell for me.
I will say, like, I enjoyed the movie. Because of how I felt at the end of it, I'm still only going to give it 3.5.
Sure.
Like, it's enjoyable. It's very out there. The directors known as the Daniels have made something that is not going to be able to be replicated. It's one of those movies that, leave it alone. Don't try in 10 years to recreate it or some different version. Let this live on its own.
This is it. Don't touch this fucking movie.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's our double feature and our recommendation that if you plan to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, do it sober. Please, for your own sake. We were glad we did, and you will be too. So, you know the drill. We are all over social media. You want to check us out. You want to see some of the awesome shit that Kevin posts on our social media. You want to ask us questions. You want to give us suggestions. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, we are on TikTok, we are on YouTube. On Facebook and Instagram, we are at Video Store Memoirs. On Twitter, we are at Video Store Mem. And on TikTok and YouTube, you can just search us as Video Store Memoirs. Give us a like, give us a follow, thumbs up, whatever that thing says to do. And let us hear from you.
And with that, I will preface one thing before we get out of here. Thank you to everybody who's been checking out everything having to do with everything for the past month having to do with the Oscars. If you would be so kind, let us know in the comments your prediction, who will win Best Picture. We would love to do a poll on see how many people get it right. I'm calling Oppenheimer. I think everybody else is, but yeah. I would love to hear from all of you.
I'd like it to be Barbie, but I'm smart enough to know it'll probably be Oppenheimer.
I will honestly admit, I would love to see Barbie win it, because that would be epic.
Yeah.
It would be kind of messed up, you know, if a movie of like that, but the director didn't win anything because she's not even nominated.
Yeah.
But then again, she is the producer, so she would get an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
So, there's our thoughts. Quickly, succinctly.
All right, until next time, I'm Jana.
I'm Kevin.
See ya.
Take it easy, people. Enjoy the movies.